Welcome to another captivating, if that's even a word, episode of Philosophies with the Wolf on PBS. So I almost ran over a guy in my driveway, and it made me think about some philosophies of life. I guess when you're backing out of your own driveway, you don't expect to have somebody there that knows your name passing out political paperwork, but as the car in front of me almost just sideswipes another fucking car, I'm realizing life is too fucking short and people are too fucking dumb. I do have some philosophies, though. I've been doing a lot of thinking. And one of the songs from a local band has a song that they do their thinking while they're drinking. Well, why, yes, I have had me a few beers again as of late. This will be a two-parter. This is actually Tuesday when I'm recording this. You'll probably hear this on Thursday or Friday. I'm going to head to a few shops and drive and think and talk while I'm, pondering this whole life thing. I just posted something on Facebook, basically letting people know that for a little over a month, I had quit drinking, and I learned a lot during that time. Now, you being privy to my inner thoughts here on the podcast, you know most of those things that I've gone through, where I had a boisterous sister who thought we were destined to be together from that band that I'm no longer friends with, caused a bunch of shit because I told her and her family to fuck off. Now, you would think that's a cop-out, where it should be me the one causing the problems because I'm the one that told her family to fuck off, but you can't tell somebody for so long and be so condescending and just an asshole to someone and not expect retaliation at some point. And that's what her and her family did. The bass player didn't. The bass player's fine. He's the one that decided to block me. But anyway, you know the story, whatever. Let's not get into that. So the problem is, during that month, I didn't get any benefits from not drinking. I didn't lose weight. It certainly didn't help my anger. I still got in a fight at that the bar when they got in my mom's face and was talking trash, and I had to put him down. It didn't help with any of my irritations, because I actually think I got more irritated with people. I slept less. I did get a lot done, but now I'm realizing that I'm having a few here and there. It's no more than I had ever got done before. I think I was just inspired because July was such a kick-ass month. But I just saw a giant gummy worm on the side of the road. I don't know, it's like some soft kid's toy, plush, weirdo thingy. Anywho, I'm interested to see the comments on that, because what happened was I had a lot of people genuinely reaching out and during that month when I was trying to find alternatives for relaxing. And, you know, they had some good input. They were telling me how they relax. A lot of people said weed or even microdosing mushrooms. I'm not into that. And when I've tried weed, it just doesn't work for me. Then you remember my rants about tea, where it tastes like a rhino's ball sack. I don't care how many different versions of tea you come up with, it still tastes like dirt. And, you know, I don't do things because they're popular, because everybody else is doing it. You got to do stuff that works for you, and you got to live your life the way you live your life. I found my happy balance. I just needed to cleanse for about a month. It was costing too much money for the beer to work. I was gambling because the only bars open when I want to go are, you know, small casino bars. For people that don't live in Vegas, that's what I call them here. We just call them, you know, we're going to the bar, because every bar is a gambling bar here. But I've got back to the point where I could have one or two beers playing a gig, or I can have a shot and a beer as an after shifter from working my ass off at the bar, which is going really well, by the way. Thanks for asking. I am digging the shit out of working in a bar again. It's like a 6-7 hour shift. you warm up and it's mildly busy for 2 hours, then it's holy fuck what is happening for about 3 hours, and then you get maybe 1 or 2 hours of cleanup and stragglers and things like that before you shut down. And it's just, it's awesome. It's fun. It's fast-paced. I dig the shit out of the music and the people. They're really cool. We all get along. It's just a fun, welcoming environment, and I'm happy to be there. The country band didn't really work out. Obviously, the rock band thing didn't work out. It just... I found my balance is wings and beer. That's my happy place. So of all the things that I tried and all the advice that I got, that is what works for me. And, you know, like I say, you just have to do what works for you. So I have a few philosophies, and I love to make analogies. And I have another one that I thought that's really good. Life is like a video game. Now, you're probably already formulating your idea of what I mean by that. And a lot of people, when they hear a phrase like that, would say something to the effect of, life is like a video game. There are challenges, but if you work hard and you keep trying and you persevere, you'll beat that challenge and you'll finish the game. Obviously, the wolf doesn't think like that, and that's not where I'm going with this. Life is like a video game, because if it sucks, it's too hard, not fun anymore, and just wasting your time, there's always another fucking game. That's my philosophy. And it's the fucking truth. You know, there's so many people out there that are just eager to persevere and push forward and just deal with all the bullshit that life gives you, because life is supposed to be hard. And no, it's not. No, it absolutely the fuck is not supposed to be hard. Life is not a dick. You're not supposed to take it up the ass. You know, it's just ridiculous to me to think that there is 80, 90% of the world out there that absolutely believes that the way their bosses, wives, husbands, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, people, dogs, cats, shit, your mother's turtle, whatever, can treat you like shit, and you just have to accept it and try harder to benefit their life. That is the exact opposite of the advice that I'm giving you here. Video games are a great analogy for me. They were created for my generation, in my generation, and we started with the difficult ones. We created cheat codes. We got autosave. And where we worked hard to get to where we're at right now, there has been changes to benefit us and other games to make it still fun when some people got stuck on Pac-Man. If you got bored with Pac-Man and you couldn't memorize the rhythms and the patterns, there were other games. And especially when Nintendo came out, if you didn't, side scrollers were amazing. And if you couldn't figure out how far to jump on level 3-1 of Mario to get to the void, there was Zelda. And when you got through Zelda and it all of a sudden you're playing Link 2, when Zelda was amazing, they decided to change it for some fucking reason. Well, you went back and played Zelda again. You see what I'm saying? You didn't just stick with Pac-Man. It's not the only game out there. Life is a game. Vegas is very much a game. You have to know how to play the game in Vegas. You got to know your cheat codes. You got to know where to go. You got to know where the secret outs are. And you got to know that if it's not working, there's always another game that you can play. Vegas is very much a video game. In fact, it's very close to Grand Theft Auto lately. But that's just, that's my thought process behind this. And it just, it makes a lot of sense to me. I hope it makes some sense to you. But I don't want you to get stuck in a rut doing the same thing, attempting the same jump over and over and over again when you could be having fun playing another game. Now, am I talking about a job? Am I talking about, you know, ditching your wife or your girlfriend or something like that? You correlate it to your own story. But you're not a quitter. Because you don't have to put up with bullshit. You absolutely do not. I'm so proud of a lot of my friends that have taken my advice or that have started their own things, done their own hobbies, started their own conventions, and you know, maybe they still work, but they found a passion and realized that working for the man didn't work as well as working for themselves. I'm proud of the people that do actually just stick with their relationships and their jobs and somehow make it work. And I'm even proud of the people that don't have a relationship, that have their job, that just pay me for shit. I mean, I am proud and I'm happy for everybody. I just want everybody to do their own thing. So I'm going to stop by this Deseret Industries here. I'm going to see if I can find something. I got some more philosophy for you in just a few. Good morning and howdy do. It's now Wednesday. Not sure where we left it off yesterday. I think I was just giving you advice about your video games. But I went out and had me a night. I'm going to have me a nice day today. I'm going to go see Chris Angel's show tonight. And I'm out comic shopping and doing a little bit of thrifting. And I got some stuff on my mind, as usual. So let's get into that. So I posted a little rant on Facebook because I saw some shit that kind of irked me, as usual. I've been having it out with this band that we're supposedly friends for a long time. And they're in Sturgis right now. And I happened to notice that they've got a giant ass merch table with all of the designs that I've done for them. And they kept saying, look how great these designs are. Look what we've done. And they're making it seem like they created these designs. They're trying to essentially forget that I've done any work for them. That would have been a huge exposure for me. And I was trying to be peaceable with them. I had still kept them on Facebook. I think I still am owed a tax form from them. But now I'm kind of pissed. And we're done. I blocked their asses last night. I said my piece and I called them out. Because they were using stuff that I had just kind of given them as a friend. Be like, hey, here's a couple variations on some stuff that they didn't pay for. Here's a couple extras. And then to see that they ended up making 9 designs out of this stuff and are making a killing off of their t-shirts. And not one single mention. Couldn't even say, hey, our buddy Wolf came up with this. Nothing. And then to even on top of that post the fact that we came up with all these new shirt designs. Look at people modeling our new design. You just said our new design like you just came up with this. That pisses me off. There's also a wrestler, well, several wrestlers actually. I've seen people make merchandise out of the artwork that I do for them. And not one single mention. I mean, Zack Ryder's done it. Zombie Sailor's done it. A lot of indie wrestlers have done it. It's not that fucking hard to tag your artist. Does that mean every single time you make a post that you need to tag the artist, tag the Photoshop, tag Mattel, tag the guy that invented the color red? I mean, it's not that asinine. But basically, the rule is, and I don't know why people don't know this, if you're going to debut something new, that's when you say, hey, check out our new logo. Done by so-and-so. Created by so-and-so. Otherwise, they're going to assume you did it yourself. It bugs the fuck out of me. And I think even if it was somebody that I wasn't already at odds with, I would be somewhat pissed. I mean, I've done lots of logos for podcasts and t-shirts and friends and wrestlers and all kinds of people. And 99% of them always say, check out this rad shit we just got from Art of Jason Wolf or Tuskadork or any of my, monikers out there. And they do great. I mean, artists make their money off of promotion, and we can only self-promote so much. It only goes so far because, you know, everybody knows how algorithms work, and we could have 1,000 friends and make a post, but only 10 people are going to see it. And then if it looks like we're promoting and haven't paid for an advertisement, they're going to stifle it. But if a band or a wrestler or a celebrity or somebody who has 20,000 followers posts something, and then that 1% still gets to see it, that's still 200 people that would get to see it. And out of that 200 people, maybe 2 or 3 might contact the artist to get new work. And it snowballs. So, you know, I had a conversation with Kevin Nash. I did some artwork for him through High Spots, that does all those turnbuckle signings and their Facebook live auctions and shit like that. And I was like, hey, do you ever remember this? He's like, oh yeah, signed a lot of those. That's great. And I was like, you know what's weird is I'm the artist for that. Did you ever know that? And he's like, no, I had no idea who you are. And I said, I was even supposed to get an autographed one. And that's sort of my deal. If you're going to make money off of my artwork, I still charge you the same fee that I would for people that just want it for personal use. But all I ask is that you give me one. So you're going to make hundreds of dollars off of something I charged you $50 for, sometimes even thousands of dollars, and you can't send me one thing? I think it's ridiculous. Nah, it's not necessarily Kevin Nash's fault. If I would have been in that situation, I'd have been like, oh man, that sucks. Hey, do you want to take a selfie or hey, you know, whatever. But everybody knows Kevin Nash is a fucking money grubber. And he didn't really give a shit who I was. And I don't care that he's 7 fucking feet tall, but which, by the way, he actually is all of fucking 7 feet tall. A lot of people just embellish their weight and their height, you know, for kayfabe. But that's a big dude. Anywho, nothing. He didn't give a shit. Everybody that owns that turnbuckle that got it autographed by Kevin Nash didn't give a shit. Okay, so, and I've gone on these rants before. If I go to the store and I buy Castle Grayskull and I'm like, holy shit, this artwork is amazing. I wonder who did it. I'm probably only, you know, one of the 10% of people that actually gives a shit about packaging design and who does the artwork. I know it's Axel Jimenez. I know it's Nate Birch. I know who these people are. But when you work for a larger company, you're basically just a hired hand. I mean, we only now know who Mark Taylor is and how many amazing designs he's done for Ninja Turtles and Masters of the Universe and the like, and so on and so forth. Back in the day, there wasn't communication and there wasn't a way to find out unless an artist signed it. So I think one of the first few signatures I remember seeing on merchandise was, I think, Norum, Earl Norum, because they still had talented artists who did paintings and actual real artwork and not just this digicrap Photoshop shit that's on everything now, where they just take a photo, add a few filters, and make it look like it's hand-drawn, i.e. Mattel packaging. So that's for a larger company situation. And you sort of expect that you're not going to know who does it because they have a design team at Mattel or any toy company. But you know who does have an entire team and is a large company and still credits their artists? Fucking Nika. Did you know if you flip over the bottom of the packaging on anything from Nika, it tells you who did the packaging artwork, the logo design, who the management team was, who did the photography of the figures, who painted the two-ups. I mean, there's a whole list of credits. And it's probably the most amazing thing I've ever seen because I've gone on to Instagram and Twitter and looked some of these people up so I could look at their work. And it only helps them out, which is awesome. So on a smaller scale, it really helps when you do a logo for a band and they're like, hey, Art of Jason Wolfe did this. Or you do a couple of t-shirts and you see some hot chicks in Sturgis wearing your shirt. It'd be cool if they're like, hey, guess who did this? I understand that it's supposed to be promoting the person selling it or the band that I did the logo for anyway. But they never once in 10 years of friendship ever tagged me in anything. And this is why, to this day, I know a lot of people have made peace with the major podcast and all of that East Coast Mafia assholes. I haven't, because I've done work for them, for their friends, and never once got tagged or mentioned. But they'll tag and mention their house artist, that tracing dude. Or they'll tag their friends, but they never once tagged me. So I did, you know, like one of their girlfriends as an action figure. I made a custom for him. And they said, well, look at this great custom that so-and-so had made for me. Neither one of them, not the guy that had commissioned it or the people posting it, said who did that figure. And there were people asking. And I had to go on those things. And my friends went and replied for me on all these posts, and it made me look like a bad guy. Oh, that's an awesome figure. Who did that? I want to get one myself. Oh, Jason Wolfe did it. Jason Wolfe did it. Hundreds of comments. Jason Wolfe did it. Jason Wolfe did it. Now it looks like I'm spamming them, and I get blocked for it. And that was one of more than a dozen instances with those guys. So that's why I'm still bitter and pissed off at them. Because they're basically a bunch of fucking jobbers who figured out how to work a merch table. And I'll give them credit that they survived outside of the, you know, the big companies. But they forget how they survived. They survived by making money off of talented people. And it doesn't hurt to credit them. So yeah, I get angry. I get hate mail all the time where people message me, why are you always crying? I'm not crying. I'm telling the truth. If you don't want to hear it, that's not my fucking problem. If you can't tag your artist, then you're an asshole. Even Sam Roberts, a big a celebrity as he is and as high up as he is in the WWE, took the time to tag me in artwork I've done for him. He put his figure that he had commissioned from me on his desk and told people that I did it. If someone like Sam Roberts can go and tell people who's done the artwork, some fucking indie wrestler can do that. I mean, that I saw, you couldn't believe the look on my face when I saw Jimmy Hart holding a poster that I had done and this guy promoting it, and then he act like he drew the goddamn thing. And there was no mention. I mean, that could have snowballed to where Jimmy Hart asked me to do a logo. I mean, it's like Vegas runs on word of mouth. Artist runs on word of mouth. It's who you know and who you've done work for that gets you continued work. I could have been working for Homage now, making t-shirts. I could have had my own figure company by now if they just would have tagged me appropriately. Well, I'm not going to be one of those assholes that goes on every single post and spams the fuck out of people. I hate artists that do that. There's people that, if you post something about G.I. Joe, I draw G.I. Joe, here's my picture. Okay, who gives a fuck? But there's artists that go out there and do that. And then they end up collecting the, you know, 20, 40,000 followers. But then their entire feed is nothing but people. You draw this. Can you draw Owen Hart? Can you draw Owen Hart eating pancakes? Can you draw Owen Hart eating pancakes under the sun in the Mojave Desert? Fuck, like, that shit doesn't give you any money. People don't actually commission it. Like I've always said, I'd rather have 100 actual commissions out of 1,000 people than to have 20, 40,000 followers and zero commissions. And I'm running on, like, I'm back to the Faithful 15. I had started a fan club where I had at max 30 people, and it's dropped back down to like 8. And this is fine because it gives me more room to branch out and try new things. But yeah, so the end of the story on that one, tag your fucking artist. It's not that hard. So enough bitching about that. Let's find something else to bitch about, because there's always something to bitch about. So I was watching a show on Tubi called Messengers 2. And if I remember right, the Messengers 1 was a biblical show about all of the different plagues and things that would happen towards the end of the world. And they were trying to decide if this could be scientifically debunked or if it actually was the end times revelation stuff. Messengers 2 is nothing even close to that. It stars Norman Reedus as a farmer, and it's about a killer scarecrow. I know you're probably thinking it's probably not going to be the best movie out there, but it actually was pretty good. It's got the typical tropes. That's a new word I'm learning. Horror tropes, where it's a possessed item found in a haunted location that causes all these weird things to happen, and the scarecrow blesses the crops, but it takes things from you, so it protects the land but not the owner. So if you caught your wife cheating, it would kill your wife's partner. Or if you were gonna get foreclosed on by the bank, it would kill your banker. I mean, it was, you know, just random stuff like that. So anyway, it made me mad though, because there's something that's a common theme in a lot of these movies and a lot of these TV shows. And if there's something that I could bitch about as far as gender roles and identities, it's that I'm sick of seeing women complain about hardworking men. You see it too often in these movies, and it really just, it's really starting to piss me off. Now, granted, I know this is probably like a 2005 before Walking Dead, Norman Reedus. But it's just, it's bothersome that this seems to be a common theme, and it puts ideas in people's heads so that when they're in a situation where they live in a nice fucking house with all the amenities they could ever ask for or want, and they don't realize that it's because the dude was a hardworking man. I'm sure some of you, one in particular, could really relate to this. It's irritating because you see the woman, my needs are being met. You're always gone. Bitch, your needs are being met because you have everything you want. The kids are taken care of, and you shouldn't have a complaint in the world. But what are you going to do? You're going to go out and you're going to go cheat on your hardworking husband who's trying to keep, in this instance, the farm going. And if anybody knows anything about farming, something always breaks and something always causes a problem, so that you're pretty much 24/7 working the job if you don't have, you know, ranch hands or something. This bitch going out saying she needs emotional support from somebody because the husband's not there. She needs to get fucked. I mean, this is a story that I've seen in Vegas over and over and over again, time and time again. It's so fucking old, and I fell into that trap because I thought I could save these desperate housewives from their situation, and it turns out they didn't want saving. They wanted the best of both worlds. They wanted the money from the husband, but they wanted the fun and the fanfare of a rock star life, or a dating or fucking one of the bouncers in a club, because they missed the thrill of it. And it just, it irritates me that these things are still shown in movies that give young women and cougars ideas and puts it in their head that if your husband isn't pleasing you sexually or mentally, then you need to go cheat on him. But they're not even taking into consideration the fact that they're being monetarily taken care of. Has anyone ever considered the guy's needs in these situations? That's one of the biggest problems. Mental health of males is not important. I don't know if you've noticed this. If, you know, you remember some of the rants I had about Will Smith, and we made a meme out of him where he was crying, and it just... People love to make fun and emasculate men. And men cry. Men have problems. Men suffer depression. They are just as suicidal as anybody else. I mean, I don't see what's funny. I don't understand why this is a joke or becomes a meme. Oh, ha, ha, this guy's wife cheated on him. He's crying. Let's screenshot it and make a fucking meme out of it. It's ridiculous. You're a terrible person and should burn in whatever hell your current religion tells you exists. I hate the way men are treated. Which, speaking of which, you know, I'm sort of slowing down on this story, but there's something else that's bothering me lately on how men are treated. My God, I you know what? I know a lot of you people hate Trump. He's not the greatest human being in the world. I like him from a WrestleMania 4 and 5 standpoint, and from just sort of the 80s celebrity aspect. But, my God, they're not going to be done with this fucking witch hunt on Trump until the man's dead. And then they're going to dance on his grave. So the FBI raided his Mar-a-Lago home in Florida. For what? Boxes, a few papers he took from the White House. The bigger picture is, somebody pointed out that if in fact it looks like something was taken from the White House, it would disqualify you from running for office again. I mean, they tried to impeach this dude twice and that didn't work. They stole the election. I really believe half of the election was rigged. I don't care who was supposed to win or not, but I was up graveyard hours watching the polls, and it jumped from he was a million ahead to 1.7 million behind. And there were several mistakes where the newscasters would say, oh, looks like Ohio's got 79% to Trump, and then I would watch it flip on live TV and then go to like 49%. And it wasn't even like a live update. It's like they were just photoshopping in real time to try and get these numbers where they needed it to be. And I also watched the election. I had some fucking groupie over, and we were watching it when Trump got elected, and the newscast is like, my God, I can't believe the world we're living in. the new president in the United States is Donald J. Trump. Well, I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if it would have been Hillary? And they're even, I mean, they talked for a brief moment and put it out there that maybe Hillary would run against him, which would mean against Biden as well. And then what would happen there? Well, that's pretty much a shoo-in because everybody is in agreement. Nobody wants Hillary running the country. But everything that they blamed or thought was going to happen with Trump is happening right now with Biden. So did it really work out? Are we in a better situation now? I mean, God, this whole raid on his property, they better fucking find something. Because this is like the last straw. People are fed up. They're sick of these witch hunts. I mean, who the fuck cares? A peaceful protest happened and the Capitol got taken over, the January 6th thing. How important is that compared to a bunch of people raiding, looting, destroying targets, downtowns and things all over the country for Black Lives Matter, where millions of dollars of property damage happened and tons of people died and got injured? But no, let's keep talking about Trump. I mean, here's a theory that I have that I don't see anybody talking about when it comes to this. What if he bluffed? What if he said he had, say, Hunter's laptop or the documents of what was in there, or some corruption or some collusion between Democrats and Russia or China? Or what if he's bluffing and exaggerating and saying he's got some of these things, and they're freaking out and they're like, well, we have to try it. We have to see if he actually does have this. That even still makes him look like a bad guy. So are they just not going to tell us what they're finding or what they were looking for? The whole thing is suspicious. Everything about this witch hunt is suspicious. They're so scared of Trump. They're so afraid of him running again because they know he's going to win. People are fed up. These 4 years that we're going to have to live through have just been terrible. The opening parts of the pandemic were not even close to how bad it is right now. All right, so back to nerd talk, enough politics and shit. Just, you know, a lot of these things don't make sense to me. I think if people would just open their eyes and see what's going on, there could be some real change, but it'll never happen because, like I said at the beginning, people like to be told what to do. You know, it is what it is. Just picked up a couple of VCRs and a plethora of cassette tapes, which is cool. So my buddy wants to get into physical media again. He's got a bunch of tapes, and he has no way of playing them. So I, you know, got a couple of VCRs. It'd be kind of cool to figure out how to make these things work, maybe tinker around with them. I don't know that I have the time to start a new hobby and learn how to fix these things, but hopefully they work. If not, they were $7.99, and I got two of them, and I can return it. And Lord knows I'll use the store credit. So, I think physical media is pretty important these days. And I'm not trying to be a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist always, but look at what's going on with HBO Max and Discovery Plus. I guess now they're saying one is going to be absorbed into the other, and I think Discovery Plus won. And the internet and Twitter is absolutely going nuts. They're like, "Who the fuck watches Discovery Plus?" Well, actually, I've been raving about it the last couple of weeks because it's amazing. It's got every documentary that I could hope for, great TV shows. People just want new fictional content or reality shows. I mean, why do you even need that when you have TikTok? You could just watch people being stupid on that. And not every show needs to be about drag queens. So, yeah, I love Discovery Plus. But they're mad that HBO Max canceled, like, Batgirl, Black Girl Batgirl, which is fun to say. couple other days. I don't know. It's just, it's stupid, but this just shows the importance of physical media. So if you were a Sopranos fan, you had to subscribe to HBO to watch it when it originally aired. And if you got so lucky to have the DVDs, you could rewatch it whenever rather than having to get on at the particular time. Well, now, and I don't know if this is true, but I'm just saying, for example, if they decided, well, Sopranos isn't PC anymore, or Spartacus on Stars, or Black Sails, any of these R-rated drama shows that were coming out there in the early 2000s, if all of a sudden they decide these aren't good for human entertainment, they're just going to pull them. And you can't do anything about it. They're gone from existence, like Dukes of Hazzard. Or anything else for that matter. You know, so physical media, unless they do a mass book burning, they can't do anything about it. And that's why I have all seven seasons of Dukes of Hazzard and the A-Team and so on and so forth. So, yeah, buy physical media. They can't take that from you yet. Well, damn, that would have been cool. I found a VCR to DVD recorder, and the it wouldn't boot up. Every time I'd hit the power button, it would just come on for a split second and then shut itself off. I wish I knew how to fix some of this stuff, because I mean, that's a hard thing to come by. Not that I necessarily need it, but I have some things that I think could actually do pretty well if I was able to get them on DVD, like I've got the countdown for WWF pay-per-views from about 89 to 91. They did that half-hour countdown show where they showed footage from Superstars and all the offbeat things and what led up to the main events or why these matches were happening, and I don't ever see those anywhere, so I'd like to be able to make copies for people, but I can't seem to find one of the units. But if I could find a VHS to VHS, I could do that too. I don't know. I love dabbling in electronics. I just wish I knew more about it and had that time to figure out. Well, I mean, when I was in high school and college, I figured out how to make my own four-track recorder by setting up two of the like entertainment system tape decks. I plugged my guitar, I think, into the headphone jack or the input jack, and then I recorded that, and then I would play that tape and record a new live track, and I just kept overdubbing and overdubbing, and then the final version was so staticky and cringy. It's almost hard to listen to, but it worked. And I still have it somewhere. I actually digitized that, and it was fun. So, I don't know. I think I could figure these things out if I had more time to do it, but we will see. Speaking of politics and stuff like that, the vice presidential Air Force One, or whatever you want to call it, that just flew over. I guess she's speaking here in Vegas. I don't know, man. Every time I think of Kamala, I'm thinking of the Ugandan giant. Every time that name comes up. And it's funny because I think the anniversary of his passing was yesterday or today. So it's kind of funny. I guess not really, but, you know, it is what it is. So I'm winding down here. I've got one more that I'm going to try and hit. That Deseret, which is usually nicer stuff. And hopefully I find a little something. You never know. But seem to be having good luck lately. I don't know. I guess I'm still looking for No Holds Barred. Oh, I take this back. I did some toy hunting, and I did find the rest of the superpowers. I found the Dark Seed, which the packaging was crushed to shit on all but one, so I got the nicest one, and I found the Batman. I haven't found any of the vehicles yet, but now I have the three Superpowers, McFarlane reissue things. I mean, $9.99, you can't beat that. And again, I know I'm buying more Batman and DC shit that I don't need, but at least I have Secret Wars and Superpowers figures that go along with these, and it'll look nice. Plus, I still have a carded vintage Lex Luthor that this will look great next to. I just want one Justice League and one set of 66 Batman, and maybe I'd get some of the, I don't know, the 89 Keaton Batman figures and toys. That giant Batwing always looked kind of cool, but now that Superpowers Batwing is coming out, and I think that's only like $14 or $19.99, something like that. I could always get two and spray paint it black. You never know. All right, so we'll see what this next one has, and wrap this up, take me a nap, and then go watch some Criss Angel tonight and see how that goes. Well, that appears to be it for me today. Didn't find anything there. Wasn't really looking for anything. Kind of a dry spell. You know, I think thrifting is good like once a week. Even though they put new stuff out daily, you never know. Like, I was just at the Goodwill 2 days ago, and there wasn't anything there. And then all of a sudden today, they had all these cassette tapes. Even some fun stuff like, you know, Lionel Richie and George Michael, Culture Club. And then found some, like, Firehouse and Diamond Rio, some other stuff. You know, it's fun. So you never know what you're going to find on any given day. But I see some of these people that are in there. They've got, I don't even know what app it is. I don't think it's Amazon or eBay. But they just scan every book and every CD. And they buy it for a dollar and see that it's worth $2.50 and they list it. I mean, I don't have the time or patience for that. I can't imagine flipping 100 things to make $100. I'd rather flip one thing and make $100. But hey, you know what? To each their own, you know, it is what it is. So, hopefully you got something out of this. Sometimes my ramblings and my philosophies are a little out there. But I really do think the whole video game analogy works. Life should not be this hard. And for people that are making it hard for their husbands or their wives, it could be, you know, it could go both ways, I suppose. Knock it off. Tag your artists. It's not that difficult. Support your friends. It costs $0 to retweet. Spread the word. And, you know, just try and be as decent a human being as possible. I know it's difficult in these days, especially with people going back to school and, you know, single moms running people off the road and going way too goddamn fast. But, you know, just my whole philosophy for the day is take a fucking breather, look up, enjoy the clouds, enjoy the weather, smell the roses, hopefully a bead and shit in it, and just be decent human beings, alright? And if the game's too hard, change the game. There's no shame in finding something that's more fun for whatever reason. So stay safe and sane. It's the Wolf signing off. And blah, 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 and all that good shit.